So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 20th day of February, 2024. And tonight, back in the boiler room, we have on the phones, because this is Pledge Week, we have Randy and Frank and Eric. And then our producer tonight is none other than Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And here in the studio, we have our little studio marm, Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
And way out yonder in Missouri, we have that legendary, well, legendary backroads country preacher, Joe Larson. Joe Larson. Hey, Joey. It looks like Joey's dropping on me.
Yeah, I'm back. They kept hanging up on me somewhere three times in a row.
Well.
It's going to be one of those nights, boss.
Yeah, I wonder if that's an omen.
I hope not, but let's just continue on like it's just we got all the bad news out of the way.
All righty. Well, we also have with us from California, Chaplain Jim Lindsay.
Good evening, Jim. Sir. Hey, Joe. Hello, everybody.
All righty.
Welcome aboard.
Okay, now since we're all there, we're going to pick it up where we left off last night. And the title of the message was, you remember, Joe?
Sure, lesser magistrates then and now.
And what a lesser magistrate is when sitting authorities act in opposition to God's sovereign laws and statutes, those who stand in the gap on the Lord's side are referred to as lesser magistrates. And we're going to be taking some look at some of those tonight as we go through here. And that's what we are. We're lesser magistrates. And so when people in the media are not responsible to people, when pastors out there who are supposed to be men of God, when they apostatize and virtually preach heresy, then we, what do? We stand in a gap. But mostly that means it's talking about governmental authorities, and we're going to be looking at a lot of that as we go through this message this week. So we left off in Acts chapter 5 and verse 25, and so let's pick it up there. Joe, why don't you just read 25 through 28?
Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had been brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us.
All right, so now we're talking about, remember we started out, it says, when the high priest rose up and all that they were with him were the sect of the Sadducees.
Now,
the Sadducees were really indignant because they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, do they? And
no.
So here now you had the apostles preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they're really angry, really angry. And so then here now in verse 20, he said, the Lord had himself, when it says in verse 19, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now, two things happened there. Let me ask you, what other time did the Lord move through a crowd as being invisible?
I can see it, but I can't think of where it was.
Well, when he was preaching, remember when he was first preaching repentance and he preached out of Isaiah, and he said, today, because it referred to the coming Messiah, you have heard that. Oh, and they were furious with him because he referred to
himself.
Because
he called himself Messiah.
Yeah, and so they went to stone him. They wanted to throw him over a cliff, but he became invisible and just walked right through the midst of them. And so now he goes, and this is a Christophany. When the angel of the Lord was the Lord Jesus himself, he unlocks the prison doors. And then he says, and he brings the apostles out, go stand and speak in the temple to the people, all the words of this life. So he's literally telling them, go take a stand. Go take a stand. Now, when you get over to verse 20.
Jesus is what? He is the way, the truth, and the
life.
Right.
Yeah. So when he gets over to verse 25, and then he said, and then came one of them saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Now, today we have a very small percentage of pastors that would be willing to do that. There are a very small percentage that will go out and they'll obey God rather than a corrupt government. And they'll go preach when they're told not to preach. And Joe, you were there with me at Notre Dame University when they told us what?
They told us we couldn't be there, couldn't preach there.
And so what did we do?
We did it anyway.
Yep.
Of course. We got arrested for carrying a cross of Christ to a prayer grotto to pray an imprecatory prayer against Barack Obama and got arrested for it a couple times.
Right. Well, actually, Joe, you got arrested there. I got arrested up here all the times, but when they actually asked me, the Lord had his hand on this. This didn't happen to anybody else.
No, it was a God thing.
Yeah. But when the guy that was in charge, the big cop, and he comes up, and I had to get all of those signs out, the woman that was in charge of that said, Pastor, you got it. We're out of signs. We got all these people just standing there looking at each other, all lined up, waiting for Obamination to come in. And so he walks up, and he didn't do that to anybody else. Norma McCorvey, literally, my knees were in her back. And they didn't ask her. They just grabbed her, handcuffed her, And then they looked at me, and I'm standing there, and he said, "Do you want to get arrested?" I almost said, "No, arrest Joe instead," but I didn't. I said, "Not really."
That's why they arrested me without asking.
I watched it.
They started to handcuff me.
I watched him do it. Well, anyhow, he asked me that. Now, I said, "Now that I think of it, no, not really." He said, "Well, what are you going to do?" I said, "I think I'll leave. Let me grab my signs here." And I called a couple of people over, and we picked up, I don't know what, 50 signs.
Oh, there were a pile of them.
Yeah, and we got out of there, and then I was able to speak that night. And while you guys were still in jail, they had me. So.
Oh, we had fun. Ambassador Alan Keyes and I were stayed up half the night singing gospel songs, driving the prison guards nuts. They didn't like our singing, I guess. I don't know. But we had fun.
Yeah, I know. Anyhow, but now, let me ask you this, and you too, Jim. What percentage of the pastors do you think we have that have that courage that they had? Then came one and told them to say, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people." What percentage do you think of the pastors today have the courage to do that?
Probably 0.1%.
Probably in that area, yeah. And that is a real pathetic shame. Oh, by the way, this is Pledge Week. And folks, the phone lines are open, and Wendy pledges $170. Thank you, Wendy. All righty, 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Got to tell you this. We have two excellent books. For a donation of $50 or more, you get both of them. One of them, this was written a few years ago, but boy, I'm going to tell you, it was right on target. And that is called The Bible and the Blackboard. And it takes a look at the public school system, but it offers solutions to clean up this. It's a good book. It's not very big. It's by Dr. Gary Cass, Sam Katchen-Smith, and Anthony Erte. And folks, that and one of my favorite books, next to the Bible, we call it the Little Red Book, but it's the Bible Answer Book. And it shows you, it's got every topic in the Bible, whatever the topic is, it's got every verse on that topic in the Bible. It's really good. Joe, I can tell you, I've been a pastor for 50 years. I use mine all the time. What do you think, Joe?
I use mine all the time, especially where I've had a couple of memory lapses after I got my head smashed up. And it's invaluable. It's great. It's almost like you can do a daily Bible study. Just you can like take a word, pick a word, you know, idolatry, hope, holiness, giving, and you can do a little Bible study too. Use it. It's just the handiest little book.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, it is. You're right. It saves me a lot of work, tell you the truth, as far as so. And I like
it. We get older, we don't remember all the things that we used to.
You're telling me. Well,
if I am. Somebody had to remind you.
Well,
never mind. We won't go there.
There is an alternative of other than getting older, Joe.
Yeah, there is. I think I'll get older.
All righty.
I'll skip the alternative for a while.
Bill in Boston pledges 100. Thank you, Bill in Boston. 888-281-1110. And I don't know, Jim, do you have one of our little red books?
I don't think I do.
Well,
I have one.
You better remedy that. You better call the office and have Lisa mail you out one right away.
Certainly. I'll do that.
Alrighty. All right, let's go on here. So he says, then went the captain and the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. Why do you think that they were worried about being stoned? The people were really upset, especially with the Sadducees at this time. for a couple of reasons. Why do you think, remember why they arrested the apostles, okay? The apostles were out there doing mighty miracles. They were
right.
Healing people.
They were doing the things that Jesus had done, and the people were realizing something marvelous was happening because these were the followers, and if they could do what their master did, there must be something wonderful going on.
Absolutely. And so here, what was taking place, you had people bringing their sick with a palsy and that, and if Peter's shadow passed over it, they'd be healed. So they brought them out. The apostles were healing the sick, and they were ridding them of unclean spirits and everything. And the people were excited about this. And now the Pharisees are saying, well, you can't be doing things like that, especially on the Sabbath, right?
Right. You can't do that on the Sabbath.
Of course not.
And so here now he goes on to say, Jim, would you read verses 29 through 32?
Certainly. Peter and the other apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted this man to his right hand to be a ruler and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are his witnesses to these words, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him."
And
when
so,
they heard this...
Oh, no, that's okay. Stop right there now.
All right.
So here now, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. And there's a... Today, here, that's... Somehow there's a mindset today, even within the pulpits, that, well, times have changed. And, you've got this mindset, and then God has to understand what the polls are saying, what the people are saying.
Right, right. We've changed our way of thinking, our new information age, God, you better get with it, right?
Right. That's kind of the mindset that they're having out there today. And so here...
But there's kind of a problem, though. God does not change, cannot, will not change.
Right. So now, go ahead, Joe, and read verses 33 through 36.
Through 36, all right. When they heard they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught."
Okay, so now, here Gamaliel, he was known, he was the Apostle Paul's teacher and mentor. And so here now, he also had a relationship and knew a couple of fellows. One of them was called Joseph of Arimathea, I'll say it. And the other fellow that he knew was a guy named Nicodemus. Now, they were also what? They were members of the council, weren't they?
Right.
Now he knew Paul. And what was it that Paul, Nicodemus, and Joseph all had in common? They were all followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now,
right.
Here Gamaliel was a pretty smart guy, and he knew these three fellows were pretty intelligent fellows. So if they believed, if they had such a belief, especially Paul, in this Jesus of Nazareth, do you think that would have sparked an interest by Gamaliel on why they felt that way?
He was smart enough to know that even if he wasn't sure he believed, he was smart enough to know that something here was going on that was above his pay grade.
Right. And so here now, he's telling, when you looked at the fellows that came, both Thaddeus and Judas, they came, and of course they had insurrection against the Romans, and they were kind of outnumbered in a major way and didn't get a lot of help from their own people. And that was, and that's the way, why were they under rule? Because of being obedient or disobedient to the Lord?
Disobedient.
Absolutely. And so here now, so he says, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men, let them alone, for if this counsel, this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. Do you think Gamaliel figured that was actually the case?
I do. I think he figured out one or the other. If they were of God, then you're fighting against God. This is not going to be a good thing for any of us, including himself and the council. And if it isn't of God, they're going to self-destruct like the others did, and it will fail. Because it's not of God, it's going to fail.
Absolutely. 888-281. This is Pledge Week, folks. We got to hear from you. We really got to hear from you. 888-281-1110, especially with credit cards, or 888-677-9673. This is Pledge Week.
Right. We are totally listener-supported. We do the work. No one in this ministry, in fact, since the inception about 50 years ago, nobody has taken a dime. We all donate our own time, our own talent, and even our own treasure in this ministry, and your donations pay the bills. And we don't have to trust sponsors who panic when they get attacked. And it's been a marvelous relationship all these years. And when you donate, we know Scripture says that you get to share in any of the blessings that come from this ministry. And within this ministry, we have prison ministry, Right to Life ministry, King's Word School of the Bible. We have pastors who work in hospice and other areas. And anything any of us do in the ministry that glorifies God, you get to share in the blessings if you've supported the ministry and kept us on the air.
Absolutely,
so it's a
good, Joe.
Partnership.
Absolutely. I got to do a couple quick announcements here. One is Thursday, the February 22nd, there is going to be the Ohio Christian Alliance is having a freedom banquet, and that is Candidates Night. It's Candidates Forum. And the reception is 5:45. The candidate forum starts at 6:15. Dinner at 7 p.m. There's a cost of $75 a ticket. And the address is 3180 West Market Street in Akron. That's the Hilton Akron Fairlawn. The Hilton in Akron and Fairlawn. 3180 West Market Street in Akron, Ohio. For more information, you can call 330-887-1922. For more information, you can call 330-887-1922. All your candidates for the Senate are going to be there, and it's going to be very interesting to listen to these fellows, because they're all going to be telling you why you really need to vote for them. And guess who else is going to be there, Joe? An old friend of ours, Bill Federer.
Okay, Wild Bill's going to be there. He is wonderful.
Yep.
He's fun to listen to, and he's got a mind like a computer.
All righty. Also, we have coming up at the Embassy Suites on March 8th and 9th, the annual Bringing America Back to Life. This is the largest pro-life conference in the country. And, folks, It starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, both Friday and Saturday. You're going to have all kinds of speakers. You just heard one of our speakers, Pastor Arthur Pawlowski. He's going to be there. Dr. William Life, that's his real name, Dr. William Life. He's going to be there. Chol Cole, a courageous 19-year-old activist who fearlessly shares his detransitioning story and crusades against the dangers of this gender reassignment, folks. Things aren't working out the way they wanted them to, are they, Joe?
No, they seldom do. The truth wins in the end. It just sometimes takes a lot longer than we would hope it would.
And Lord's willing, I will be at both these places tomorrow night at Thursday night at the Ohio Christian Alliance, and then on March 8th, on that Friday, I will be, Lord's willing, I will be there at both places just meeting and greeting people. And so there you go. Now, we're going to, I got to give the number out again. The number is, this is Pledge Week, 888-281-1110. That is the line for the credit cards especially, but you can do others. 888-677-9673. Remember, you've got the two books for a donation of $50 or more, but you have to ask for them. If you don't ask for them, they won't send them to you. You got to let us know that you want them. We are going to hear a little bit about more damage done by the COVID. So take it away.
Emotionally, it is easy to dismiss the work of Dr. Anna Maria Mielchia, for it is very disturbing. But her work is shown through scientific testing and backed up by government and NGO documentation. And the evidence shows that humanity has already been infected with cutting-edge surveillance nanotechnology. This is a follow-up to my last report on Dr. Mielchia's hydrogel research. New research shows that those who receive the COVID shots emit a fluorescent orange glow in their faces that is visible under a UV light of 365 nanometers, and those who have been exposed to shedding emit this glow around their nose. After his wife was coerced into getting the COVID shot, PhD Justin Coy began his own research. He found that the more shots a person received, the more they glowed under UV light. The glow can be seen initially around the nose, and over time spreads throughout the entire face and into the neck. After a hot shower, filaments are expelled through the skin of the vaxxed, and these filaments also emit a glow under UV light. These filaments not only glow, but they have been shown to move on their own in spastic movements. And they are also attracted to people. In videos, they can be seen trying to latch onto a finger. And when a person who has received the shot has dry skin, these expelled filaments will become airborne. This could explain how shedding occurs from the vaxxed to the unvaxxed. The Pfizer trial document stated that an unvaxxed individual in close proximity to someone who's been vaxxed can be infected by inhalation and skin contact. In 2008, a biological nanotechnology pesticide designed to kill the brown moth in the state of California was deployed and appears to have included the same sort of fluorescent invisible microdye that we see in the scientific research. Dr. Hildegard Staninger tested individuals exposed to this nanotech pesticide and found that a glow could be detected in their eyes under UV light. Dr. Staninger called this the Eye of Horus effect due to its similar appearance and claimed it was due to the use of fluorescent thiocyanate in the pesticide, which according to the literature would have been used to track the effectiveness of the dispersal. The idea has been around for decades. The Institute for National Security Studies, Non-Lethal Weapons, Terms and References, published in 1997, discusses an invisible infrared dye which is visible under UV light so that rioters can be later identified. Justin Coy points out how the genetic code for luciferase, a bioluminescent enzyme found in nature, is included in the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, along with SV40, which could theoretically allow the luciferase to be written into the genetics of the recipient. Coy proposes that this could be what is causing the vaxxed to glow under UV light. The TRACE Act, H.R. 6666, COVID-19 Testing, Research, and Contacting Everyone Act, was introduced in May of 2020. The bill authorizes the Centers for Disease Control to contact, trace, and monitor the population. In late 2020 and early 2021, people all over the world started noticing purple streetlights, which is the color of UV light. The Quantum Dot Tattoo research funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation provided a way of detecting whether or not a person was vaccinated by including fluorescent medical information in the vaccines. Invisible near-infrared tattoos that would imprint beneath the skin to later be read by customized smartphones. In the scientific literature on quantum dot research, these fluorescent medical information tattoos have a similar appearance to the faces of those infected by the vax under UV light. You may or may not believe in biblical prophecy, but it seems clear that the ones running this diabolical program are using it as their playbook. From Revelation 13, "And the second beast required all people small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark." But never forget, we still have free will. Greg Reese reporting.
All right, we're back. Now, it's an interesting thing because I watched this video, and those little, as they shed, those little, they look about like the size of a hair, like a little human hair, about an inch long, and they squirm, they move. But when you a human hand or a human comes in contact with them, they point, and if it gets close enough, they actually jump. They actually off of one to the other. Now, remember when Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, when she was talking about this shedding, by the way, that's what happened to Elaine Conley, our nurse. She picked this stuff up, and she ended up with heart problems because of this from someone who was shedding these things. And you ought to have seen under the lights, these people had, their eyes were all orange around. Well, I'm going to tell you, folks, we told you about these vaccines. We told you they were not vaccines at all, but bioweapons, and what a disaster. How many people have been injured by them? Anyhow, very quickly, I'm going to take Bill Wilds. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Ernie, how are you?
We're doing okay, my friend. You got something coming up Friday night, don't you?
Friday night at your church. We're going to do another Tactical Civics intro meeting and help people understand the way to fix America.
Well, we really have to move quickly. We've got to get into, well, there's that thing. Remember the forgotten 13 words we need in our state Second Amendment militias, and those were, remember what they were? A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And I just talked to our sheriff again today, and he's heading down to the border. Now, in the past, when I've been telling people about this, it's like, well, I know you got a point there, but they weren't that concerned. Now, because of what we've been reporting, and not just us now, about the amount of Chinese National Army troops that are really on our soil. Right now, we've been trying to tell people, and, you know, the Chinese have had for a long time, they plan things way, way ahead. They plan a land invasion of America. And last week, we had Arthur Polansky on, from the pastor from Canada, the one that they treated so bad, the one that they really went after the corrupt police in there in Canada, and he was talking about how many Chinese troops they had there in Canadian soil. And we've been trying to tell people, and we have Major Jim Lindsay, our former major, and he was reporting on 5 million national Chinese in this country. So we have to move very quickly, and I was telling the sheriff today, I said, look, sheriff, we're either going to get a militia established pretty quickly, or you're going to have vigilantes established because people are getting nervous. And now the sheriffs are paying more attention to this. But go ahead and tell us about the meeting Friday.
Well, Friday night, we're going to do an intro to kind of explain the concept to people. The goal is to get more people involved, get more people understanding what they need to do, how the Constitution works, and the simplicity of it. You know, you spend a couple hours a week reading and learning and attend a Zoom meeting, and then start doing some intro meetings yourself, and we'll get the, you know, in Geauga County, 460 people that we need, and of course, all the surrounding counties in Ohio and of course, across the whole United States. Tactical civics is exploding. There's no doubt about it. We're well over 7,000 people at the moment. So, and coming from 262 a year and a half ago, it's really growing. But it can't grow fast enough with what's going on in the world. That is for sure.
Yeah,
it isn't simple as just enforcing our Constitution.
You're right, because there's a window. Time is closing. Things are happening very, very quickly.
Yes, it is.
And so the completely and totally corrupt government, Biden has been bringing these people in left and right, spending tons of money on these illegal aliens. And these illegal aliens, they owe a debt. And just like when they were asking these Chinese about Chinese nationals, now you have to get permission to leave China. You can't just leave China. You got to let the government let you out. When they were asking all of these young soldiers, why are they here? They said for the money. Now, folks, let me ask you this. Who was it that financed and poured plenty of dollars, plenty of bucks to the Biden crime cartel? Well, Joe, you know who it was, don't you?
A lot of Chinese money.
And so now the Chinese are coming here. They're being put up in luxury hotels on your tax dollars, folks. Biden's paying back his debt. There you go.
Also, not just Biden, but one of the headlines, New York City migrant debit cards are costing far more than Eric Adam claimed. And actually, some of these, New York City contracted a very inexperienced bank to hand out these debit cards, and they could cost as much as $10,000 per migrant, according to a new report out, London Daily Mail. And somebody sat down and looked at the contract. You know, the devil's in the details. The contract, the fine print, leaves the option open for the program to be open-ended. Open-ended. So the $53 million that they talked about being a cost there, you know, is not the cost. It's the fee that Mobility Capital Finance, the company that's going to give out these cards, is going to receive for services, as explicitly stated in the contract. And Daily Mail read the contract, and City Hall has given the flexibility to disperse $2.5 billion on the prepaid debit cards over the next year. So they put out the $53 million figure. They just forgot to mention that's the fee to the bank that's going to hand out the debit cards. Another one of those little lies from the Democrats. Only this could cost you $2.5 million.
All righty. Anonymous in Wisconsin. Anonymous in Wisconsin pledges 100. Folks, 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Let me ask you folks a question. Have you heard things tonight here on this radio program that you would absolutely never hear on the fake mainstream news media? Well, if you have, you have to understand that we're here. We can only be here with your help. We can only continue to do what we're doing, and we've got a lot more to bring you tonight. But boy, do we! Those phones have to light up. Again, it's that simple.
They do. Well, yeah. I can give them one great example. You were talking about the COVID and the kill shot. We did a story a while back about Richard Hirschman, remember?
Yep.
Funeral director and embalmer from Alabama. Well, he's got a new video out. Very disturbing. I saw it. And it went out Sunday, and it's had so far about 15 million viewers. And he had a hit documentary, Died Suddenly, released back in 2022 with about 19 million hits, views. And in this video, he's removing strange white fibrous clots from the right jugular vein of a deceased individual. Nikki King, another embalmer, is doing the recording and watching because she's a expert, you know, like he is. And Hirschman's had about two decades in experience of embalming, and he said he's never seen this kind of stuff until after the COVID shots. So you can watch him on this film remove the big white fibrous clot. It's ugly. And he's got jars where he was putting this stuff in. You can see these things in different jars of formaldehyde. And it's just crazy. He said, I did not start seeing this kind of thing until 2021. I'm still finding strange clotting in several bodies that I embalm. And we've talked about this before. Like I said, I went and looked at the pictures. I went and looked at the surgery, the embalming. It's kind of like surgery. And these are the ugliest, weird things. They almost look like some of those white rubber things that bass fishermen use. They hook on lures or things, and they wiggle. And yeah, I mean, they're really ugly. And I watched him take them out of the person's vein or artery. And he said, I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican, liberal, black, white, male, female. I'm seeing this come out of the circulatory system during the embalming process only since 2021. In the prior 20 years of work, I have never seen anything like this before. Now I am seeing it quite often. May God help us. And he goes on to say there are people investigating, and they think it's some form of kind of a protein that can form either before or after death. But
Joe, I've got to give that number. It's 888. Folks, listen, the phones are quiet.
Silent.
Now, you see, if the phones are quiet like this, you know what that means? You won't be hearing from us. Remember how we told you that unless we heard from you in so many stations, we'd have to go off your station. Well, we did. And now we got all these people calling right away and saying we wish you hadn't gone off, you know, and then they send in some help. But listen, we want to stay on the station you're listening to us on right now, but we will not be able to stay on these stations without some help. George Soros has bought up 220 something radio stations, folks, and again, we depend upon the people. Like Donald Trump says, they're coming after you, I'm just in their way. Well, that's the same thing with us. They're coming after you, we're just in their way. They don't like it, the fact that we're still here and we're still telling you things that they don't want you to know. But anyhow, the numbers are 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673, or 888-281-1110. Pastor's mighty men, they're standing there looking at the telephones, waiting for the lights to light up and start
Pastor
ringing.
Ernie, the only reason we're still here is because we're an unregistered church. We don't have a 501c3 corporation paperwork. And that is why we're able to be on the air, do what we do, say what we say. If we were like the other mainline churches and had one of those 501c3 government seal of approval, we would have been off the air, arrested, and probably in jail right now.
Right. We're an actual New Testament church.
New Testament church.
Right. And the reason what we're telling you that is when you receive the 501c3, you become a corporation. You sign an agreement with the state that you are a corporation. Corpus means non-living creation of the state. You're a non-living. The church is the living body of Christ. And
Amen.
So, folks, so when you enter into that contract, you cease to be a church and become a corporation. Under the 501c3, if you read it, the state is the head, not Christ. The state is the head. And if you look at the pastor, the word that they use for the pastor is agent. And from Black's Law, that has two definitions. One of them is intercessor between the assembly and the state. The other is a spy for the state against the assembly. Now, that's reality. That's what we've been trying to tell you out there. And because we are an actual church, we had some people from the news media come by and wanting to know why we had this big sign out in the yard that says Donald Trump is still the legitimate president of the United States of America. And the question they had was, how can you do that being a church? I says, we can do it because we are a church. We're an actual church. We're not a corporation. And they were totally confused. But anyhow, there you go. One more time, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Go ahead and finish, Joe, what you're doing, and then we're going to let Jim give us his report.
No, I kind of pretty much finished on that one. I could go on, but let's let Jim take it. I said pretty much everything on that embalmer. That was from Jim Hoff, the Gateway pundit. The funeral director's name, you want to look it up, is Richard Hirschman, and funeral embalmer there in Alabama. We've done this before, and his videos are up there to see. So you can go to the Gateway pundit, or you can go to World News Daily. And the title of the article, God Help Us, Shock Embalmer Video Reveals Strange White Fibrous Clots.
All right.
And you can go look for yourself.
Mary in Dayton pledges 200. Thank you, Mary. Jeff in PA pledges 100. And George in PA pledges 25. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All righty, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Go ahead, Jim, and give us your report.
Well, 2 days ago, I was listening to the Stephen Gardner show, and he had a guest on by the name of Todd Vincent. He's a journalist, a respected journalist, and I do not know him to be conservative. He is just a very honest journalist who did some honest research. And this was February 18th, 2 days ago, and here is what he found out by his research. He said that the United States government is lying to the American people, hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent on migrants to get them into the United States, paying for all of their needs from anywhere around the world. And all this money is being given to NGOs around the world. And 14,000 people, aliens, per day, because of this program, have been coming across our borders. The trips paid from around the world, it includes all their needs that are being paid for lavish trips, including South and Central America through Mexico. And who's involved? The Biden administration via the State Department and the United States, USAID, the United States Agency for International Development. And this is the biggest operations going on, and mainly it's in South America and Mexico. Every human need is met with taxpayer money for luxurious trips. 248 NGOs are given American cash for these aliens. international and American NGOs are involved, including religious organizations that are well known to all of us.
Catholic charities, Lutheran charities, et cetera.
Yeah. He didn't
mention
they
are making big, big bucks.
Yeah. And he did not mention any of these by name. I guess he doesn't want to get sued. But they're doling out credit cards and cash vouchers for hotels, transportation, brand new food, clothing and food, medical treatment, attorneys, shelter of all kinds, everything you need to travel to the southern and northern borders, but mainly the southern border. These are well entrenched. There's a well entrenched network of aid stations dotted all the way from South America to our southern border. And these are advertised around the world for all to see. There's nothing secret about this. And the United Nations is managing the whole thing by and large. Budget records are publicized. You can find it for 2021. There are no secrets. The UN budget publishes what they're doing in this regard. $1.6 billion have been given to 3 million aliens all along the trail through South America and Central America. 372 million alone in cash debit cards. That's $372 million alone in cash debit cards given to these aliens. Tens of millions for humanitarian transportation from all around the world by ship, by airplane, and through the landmass by train, buses, Greyhound buses. Those, I mean, I don't know if it's Greyhound, but those kinds of lavish buses are being used. The NGOs say that they're coming. That they're coming anyway, so this is to save them from suffering and death. And these are really safety nets for them. the reality is that these aliens are being smuggled across our border, and many would not even come were it not for these insurance policies. The NGOs and the United Nations are funding the invasion of America. And this is the gist of what Todd Vincent has uncovered in his research.
Well, he's absolutely...
Jim, I could add something. Ernie Knight, quite a while back, did a story where it's basically the whole thing has become a big business. It's become an industry unto itself. All these organizations, it's an entire now industry making a living and making a better than average living off of our tax money.
Yes. Because 14,000 a day were coming across the border, it was looking bad. It was starting to get into the media, and Biden's poll numbers began to drop. And so they've been trying to put a damper on some of this stuff. So now it's about 6,000 a day coming across the border. But this is an invasion, and experts say that when you go back over the past few decades and add up how many Chinese have come over the border, there are now about 5 million Chinese here, men, who are fighting AIDS. And they are forming an army for revolution here in America, and they're bringing over all kinds of weapons. And many of the weapon systems that have been shipped to Ukraine have been found coming back across our own border, paid for by the American taxpayer.
Yeah.
These are to be used against us.
We told you that. It's exactly what was going to happen. It was black market. Hang tight. We're going up to a break. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. We got a lot more to bring you tonight. Don't go away, folks.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org.
That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.